Our God calls us to be good neighbors to each other, to reach out in our times of suffering and in our times of joy. This morning, we are privileged to have Jesse Golan with us. And I invite you up here, Jesse. I was looking at some of the photos regarding Humans of Basic Income this morning, and I think I might have encountered the organization at Supercrawl. I'm not quite sure if there's a presence at Supercrawl. Yeah. And it just alerted me to the situation of some people who are struggling with income and economic security. So it's really great to have you here with us, Jesse. Why don't you come up?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me. Thanks for having me. So I'm really happy to be here, really excited to be here. It's been an interesting journey for me, and I want to just tell you about everything. As this new year's beginning, we're in the first few weeks of 2019. I imagine like you might be taking time to reflect upon the last year, what you may have learned, any ways that you have grown and changed. And for me, I realized that like if you steal money from me, I go crazy and become a political activist. So let me tell you the story of how my life changed. So last year around this time, I had four jobs. I was up early every morning walking dogs. In the afternoon, I was teaching piano until the evening. I didn't really have time to make dinner for myself. In between, I was furiously trying to build my business as a photographer, scheduling photo shoots, working for an organization called Photographers Without Borders. I'd be taking phone calls while I'm walking dogs. I'd be planning shoots at the same time I'm trying to tell kids where middle C is on the piano. And all this time, I'm still poor, I'm still exhausted, all my jobs were precarious, they're all contract work, gig work, no rights, no benefits, and like at that point in time, like my old glasses before this model, they were over 5 years old and actually given to me by a friend because I couldn't afford glasses. I hadn't been to the dentist in years. I do own a car, but my car is now car number four. It's a beautiful Toyota Corolla, but the reason I've owned so many cars in such a short period of time is because they're all really cheap cars that I paid for with cash. Like one time I bought a Saturn for $250. I don't recommend this. but yeah, it was at this time last year I applied for basic income as well. There was an information session. I went, I applied, and I got approved in February. So what does that mean? I got basic income. So what happened was that there was a 3-year pilot project that was taking place here in Ontario with 4,000 people in total. This was a study meant to only last 3 years in the cities of Hamilton, Brantford, Thunder Bay, and Lindsay. The only qualifying factor for anybody to sign up is that you had to be low income. So if you're a single person making under $30,000 a year, you could receive up to $1,400 a month. And if you worked, the amount would be subtracted by 50 cents to the dollar. And 70% of the basic income recipients did work, including myself. So like I had jobs, I was working, so I received about $700 a month. So I applied in December of 2017. I got approved in February of 2018. I remember I got the letter and I was like, huh, cool, basic income. Gotta go to work now. And then I just like went back to, you know, walking my dogs, teaching piano, working like crazy, exhausted, stressed all the time. So I didn't even sink in until like the end of the day. And I thought, my rent is covered. My rent is covered. Oh my God, my rent is covered. Whoa. And like the biggest weight that I was so used to carrying was just gone. And then it was just so nice because like from there, I quit teaching piano. I quit walking dogs. I focused all my energy on Photographers Without Borders and building my photography business. And like, it was working. I was booking steady amounts of shoots and I was making money. I was seeing PWB grow and I had the mental freedom and time to focus on doing what I loved. And it was just the nicest thing because I also knew that like my rent is covered. Like no matter what, I can pursue this, I can build my business and I'm gonna be taken care of. However, like if nothing happened and everything was all hunky-dory, I wouldn't be standing here right now, would I? So As you're no doubt aware, there was an election last year, and Doug Ford's progressive conservative government won a majority. And during their campaign, they went on the record numerous times during their election campaign and saying straight up that they wouldn't cancel the basic income pilot. They said it's on the record numerous times that they said this. But then barely a month after, like they didn't even wait, barely a month after coming into power, they broke that promise and canceled the pilot. And I'm going to say this, and I will say this until the end of time, we cannot normalize lying politicians. We cannot. I don't care who it is. And people have said that to me. They're like, oh, who cares? It's Doug Ford. What do you expect? Like, of course he's going to lie. I don't care who it is. We can't normalize lying politicians. So prepare to get angry, because this is how terribly this government has treated us. So they made the announcement to cancel the pilot on July 31st, and breaking an election promise, lying. And they did not announce any end date at all during when they made that announcement. All they said was, we're going to wind down basic income. In fact, the words that they used were compassionately wind down basic income, except all the recipients, myself included, were left completely in the dark as to what that would look like. So we're all sitting here being like, okay, so the pilot's canceled. Are we going to get August payment? We don't know. And like at one point, like I remember I was taking photos of the recipients, and one of the people, it was an older fella, like after I took his picture, his voice dropped. He was like, Jesse, and he's like, his lips were quivering. He was like, am I going to get this month's payment? And he was terrified. I saw terror in his eyes. And I looked at him and I was like, I don't know. I really don't. I don't have an answer for you. And I can't believe that I'm in this world where I have to say that. So they never communicate directly to any basic income recipient. I found out through the media, like they put out a news release, but nobody, like no direct communication whatsoever. In fact, we didn't get any letter in the mail until October. So 3 months after they made this announcement. They finally announced the end date in March. But again, people will still be locked into leases that they can't afford. People signed up for this thing in good faith. They had plans for this money, and all those plans are now completely derailed. And then again, they never communicated directly. There is like a phone line, but whenever people call it, I've tried like numerous times, it always goes to voicemail. There's never anybody who picks up. So yeah, it's terrible how this government has treated us, and the reasons that they put for canceling the basic income pilot had no basis in fact whatsoever. Like they were saying things like, oh, it would cost Ontario $30 billion, and that's a total lie. The pilot only cost $150 million, and by the time it's done, $100 million of your taxpayer money will be wasted. So, you can imagine how I reacted when I found out about the cancellation of the pilot. Hell hath no fury, like a photographer scorned. And I was furious. And I literally jumped into the action. I came up with the idea the next day. I was just like, I want Doug Ford to know my name. I want everybody to know what he is doing. I want people to know these stories. I'm going to find people. I'm going to get them to hold signs. I'm going to get them to tell their stories. So that's what I did. So I started looking on social media. I found other basic income recipients. I went to Queen's Park. I started taking portraits of people on basic income. I got them to hold cardboard signs and use markers to write their own stories in their own words. And I asked them, what were you using basic income for? And I started to share the stories on social media, and before I knew it, the portraits had gone viral. They were being shared all over the place. My friend Gloria set up a Facebook and Twitter account, and almost beyond my control, Humans of Basic Income was born. I imagine you probably want to see some of the portraits. There we go. So that's Tim. Basic income helps me stay healthy with good food. I am ill. Tim is really lovely. He's very, very chatty. Last time I saw him, he was like, Jesse, you gotta see this thing I got. It was like some toy from the dollar store. He was like, this is so awesome. I'm gonna go give this to my niece. I haven't been able to see my niece in over 5 years because I haven't been able to afford to see her, and basic income is allowing me to spend Christmas with my family. Jody and Steven and Maddie. The effects of poverty are more than being poor. Basic income helps our family with the atrocious costs that come with hospital parking. #more important than a beer. Sarah, basic income alleviated my stress when my income wasn't enough each month. I am precariously employed. I am a full-time student and a beginning manual therapist in my community. She's actually a really good friend of mine. She works as a bartender, so she was working like until like 3 in the morning and then gang up early in school, to go to school and study and just having no free time at all. Tessa, basic income means I can pay my guide dog's medical bills. ODSP does not have a drug plan for service animals. $250 a month for meds, never mind vet costs. The option was to give her back and the school would adopt her out. Basic income has allowed me to keep her and my independence. That's not her pet, that's her guide dog. She will lose that. It's not just a pet, it's a tool for accessibility. She needs that dog. Basic income is used to qualify me for housing subsidy. It feeds my children with special needs while I'm being dragged alone through a broken family court system, seeking disclosure for child support and getting poorer, and I'm waiting for FRO to proactively enforce a previous child support order from a father who has never paid child support, who is now over $35,000 in arrears. I swear to God, she's a better lawyer than most lawyers I know. So, these portraits have now been exhibited all over Ontario. They've been featured on CBC, Toronto Star, Huffington Post, Global News. I've been invited to speak all over the place, numerous universities all over. I've been to conferences, marches, city halls, and there's no signs of this stopping. Like, I just got invited to go to Winnipeg this week, except they want me to go in like end of January, February, so. So I'm gonna go to the coldest city in the coldest country in the world at the coldest time of the year. So that's, and I've been interviewed for podcasts and newspapers all over the world too. People from the Kyoto News in Japan came to Hamilton to interview me, so that was cool. There was a podcast in Australia that I'm on now. I was talking this week with a person in Switzerland. Another person reached out from Argentina. So like, this is a worldwide conversation. And I honestly thought this project would last like a couple of weeks, except it's January, and here we are, we're still talking about this. So the portraits are very well traveled. I have them here. I didn't have time to bring them out this morning, but I have them here and I can bring them out after the service. They're very well traveled. It's been interesting to see this sort of impact. That's the next question is like, well, what is the impact? Why are people engaging? I've spent months thinking about this and I have a few ideas. So they put a human face on a political issue. It's not just a numbers game anymore. This isn't 4,000 people getting 1,400 a month in four cities. They're humans. They have names, they have faces, they have stories, and read their stories and read that they wrote those stories out with their own words. When I started, my goal was 50 portraits, and now I'm up to 70 portraits. And like, I honestly don't recommend reading every one of them back to back unless you want to have a panic attack. The stories these portraits tell are very, very serious. Even just the small handful that you saw just today, like people were using basic income to treat long-term health issues. They were using basic income to eat healthy food and not have to access a food bank. Some people for the first time ever. I met people who told me they bought new clothes for the first time in years. People use basic income to go back to school. They use it to move into safer housing, build stable environments for their children. People were using basic income to get out of poverty. Nobody was using basic income to sit on their asses and play video games. The minister who announced the cancellation, Lisa McLeod, said that basic income was a disincentive to work. Yet I have a whole stack of portraits and stories that prove her so very wrong. We live in dangerous times. I never thought I would wind up in this crazy parallel universe where Doug Ford is premier and Donald Trump is the president of the United States. And the division across the left and the right is becoming increasingly polarized, and that makes me nervous as well. The language being used is scary. You know, you're either a racist or a Nazi, or you're a social justice warrior or a snowflake, and like, I don't know, what have the millennials killed this week? But more scary is the language used to describe the most poor and vulnerable in our society. The language being used is parasite or leech. These are dehumanizing terms, and it's basically saying that, like, when dehumanizing terms are used, it opens the justification for violence. They are literally saying that our humanity is dependent on our way to contribute to the economy in a way that is satisfying to them. So, and I use the words a way that is satisfying to them because in my profession, I'm a musician and I'm a photographer. So these aren't satisfying professions because I can, you know, I have a camera, I'm playing the piano. Anybody can get a camera and take pictures. That's not a justifiable job. Even though they are, and I've spent 20 years studying classical piano and 10 years doing photography. But then they're saying that, like, if you don't contribute to the economy in a way that's satisfying, we're not human. We're parasites. We're leeching off of taxpayers' money. We're stealing from the rich, and we're taking away all your hard-earned money. So in their minds, this justifies cuts to social services. This justifies the cancellation of basic income, and it justifies violence. And history has shown us this. You see other societies where this happens. And when that happens, violence happens. Genocides happen. Holocausts happen. When social services get cut, people die. And the violence this time won't be as overt as those genocides or those holocausts, but people will die. They will gain long-term health problems due to living in unsafe and unstable housing and lack of good food. They will die in jails because poverty and crime are deeply related. They will commit suicide over the stress and despair that comes with the disease that is poverty. Poverty is a disease. As you can see, this is deeply serious. This is very scary. I have nightmares now. Like, I have joked to my friends that I say, oh, when all this is over, therapy. But it's not a joke. I should know about the effects of government cuts more than most people. I actually grew up just minutes outside of the village of Walkerton, Ontario, where in 2000, due to government cuts, E. coli poisoned the water, thousands of my friends got sick, my friends died, my home got poisoned because of government cuts. And we are still recovering from the damage done by the Mike Harris government to social services before Doug Ford announced even more cuts. And the cuts, they keep coming. Like, he keeps on announcing them every week. It's different. It's something new. And I'm just, it's terrifying. And this is deeply serious. So the reason I'm coming to you today is that your God is a God of the poor. And the most attractive thing about God is that unlike other gods and other religions, in their stories, those gods are powerful and strong and beautiful. They appeal to the shiniest and the most perfect in our society. But you worship a God who is present in the darkest and dingiest of places. You worship a God who goes to the places where the marginalized people exist, where there is oppression. Like Isaiah 58 says, God's call is for people to spend themselves on behalf of the oppressed. I love when Jesus just spends so much time, like entire chapter of Matthew, calling out the scribes and Pharisees. You can feel that passion after 2,000 years. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, your whitewashed tombs, you're full of bones. He doesn't like hypocrisy. His message is very clear. His disciples were the lowest in caste in society. They were prostitutes, they were tax collectors, they are the most hated. He spent time with lepers, he healed the blind, he brought the food to everybody, he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. He inspired people to share. He inspired people to give. Where there is loneliest impression, let there be God's courage and love and protection. In this random and senseless world, it is hard to find this because justice is random and blind, and oftentimes retribution can never be realized. This is why we need to build a better world. God created humans in his image, and I believe part of that is that we are uniquely endowed, more than any other creature in the world, to create. It is fundamental in our makeup and who we are. And what a beautiful world we have created. We have music, we have art, we have architecture, we have culture. And part of this is, I think, God put within us the capacity to think an original thought, to think unique ideas that further the collective consciousness and build a better world. One of the things I want to do with my life is I want to think that original thought, but I can't do it alone. We need to be brave. We need to be united. As you can see from my story, I haven't been able to do this myself. This has been a constant process of people stepping forward, strangers and friends, people from all across all economic landscapes, rich and poor, to help in any way they can. It's been a process of connecting people all over the province and everyone working together to fight this. So despite senseless evil and dehumanizing rhetoric, I've been inspired, encouraged by the goodness of people. This is a universal idea. I come to you Christians because I believe your God has called you to build a better world. I want you to come with me and build this better world. And the beauty of this world is that it's universal. Anyone can get behind basic income. It's a socialist idea as much as it is a fiscally conservative idea. With the rise of AI and technology taking away jobs means we need to imagine a new world and an economy that supports this revolution. We need to ask the question if basic income has a place in this new world. People have shared the portraits and stories. They've been engaging on social media, donating time, money, skills, and successful. I'm here because Matt and I met on a hike last week. As soon as I told him what I did, he didn't hesitate to invite me. Clearly, he believes you need to hear this. We cannot be neutral in times of oppression. This is making history, and we're dreaming of a better world. Let us pray. God, give us the strength and the courage to think an original thought, to be united. Help all of us to build a better world. Amen.